faith that really stands out powerfully, for the activism within him, Lord, that he really wants to make a difference and really do things. And I thank you for him and Liddy, Lord, and all that they do for our young people particularly. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that the words that he speaks will be words that are anointed, words that are from you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will just open our hearts to receive what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Hear me?
No, I do. I'll just shout if it goes off. So we've been thinking a lot recently over the last weeks and months of the future of Junction. What is the future of Junction? What is it going to look like? Is it going to stay the same? Is it going to change? And there's a lot of thought going into that, probably by a lot of people in our own time and together. But as we look into that, as we pray into that, as we listen into that, as we're patient with that, and we kind of work out what the next step is for Junction, I think it's good to look at what Junction is. So what is Junction at the minute? So what do, shout out, what do you think Junction is at the minute? What is Junction to you?
Family.
Family. Family. Well, that's handy, because that's what I wrote down. So. Place to worship. So it's lots of different things, but the first thing that steps to mind is family. We're a family. Cool. Well, then at least you know it, so I can go home. That's good. No, it is. I come to Junction, it's a room full of my brothers and my sisters. It's my family, my church family. So, and it got me thinking, but is it? Is it a family? What does that look like? So I've got a question. So, Michael. Oh. When is that? That's my whole plan. Yeah, keep people awake. When is Isabel's birthday?
25th of October.
Hey! That's a good start. The hesitation means I might not continue with the way I was going. So, Belinda, where does Andrew work? See? Knowledge. Where's Cheryl? Cheryl! What does Mark like to do in his spare time? Eat, okay, brilliant. Okay. That could have got really bad really quick. All right, let's turn it around. Isabel. When's John's birthday? If you're guessing it's right, it's going to be ridiculous.
June.
Is it June? When's your birthday, John? But it's not the June 2nd, no? It's not June the 2nd. So, okay. Who's my next victim? Who's got a mouthful of food? See, everyone's really scared now. Really, really scared. Michael. What does Elaine, who's paying a lot of attention... What does Elaine like to do in her spare time?
Sing.
Yeah? I guess you like to sing. What do you like doing most in your spare time at the minute? And I do know the answer to this.
Crocheting.
Crocheting. Mark, what company do I work for?
You work for... no idea.
So this is my friend. This is my friend. And I work for a printer company. What's it called? So we might know vaguely some things. Now, my point with that wasn't to pick people out and target them, even though that's what I did. But it's the fact that seemingly easy questions for family to answer, we don't necessarily know the answers to them for our church family. You know, but real close-knit family... often know when each other's birthday is, or at least have it written in the diary. off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you everybody's, but I know it's written down somewhere. That's why I got married, so it's written somewhere. It's not the only reason. It's not the only reason. There's a long list. That's another sermon for another day. But as a church family, we don't always know these questions. And the reason for this is quite simple, I think. It's because we get comfortable. If I was to ask you, other than today, where do I sit on a Sunday? Most of you can probably point in this direction. I normally sit over here on a Sunday. So you all know where I sit. Why do I sit there? It's because I love Joe. Just because I love Joe. That's because I'm comfortable. I'm there, I'm catching up with my closest friends. So I'm comfortable sitting with them, seeing what they've been getting on. But I see Joe most Mondays. I see Elaine every Tuesday. I see Lydia every day. So why do I sit over there? And we all have the usual people, and we have the usual rough place that we sit with on a Sunday, and which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But as a big church family, are we a big church family, or are we a pocket of distant? Are we a family of distant relatives, but in mini families, mini pockets of families? I could tell you a lot about Joe. A lot about Elaine, a lot about Dave, a lot about Lynn, a lot about Dan, not that you'd want to hear it. we love you, Dan. But are we little pockets of families? See, in Romans 12:10, it says this. If you want to find it in your Bibles, you can. Romans 12:10, well, I should have done a sword drill, that's always fun. It says, be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. And then I read it in the English Standard Version, and that's when it started to jump out at me. It reads like this. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honour. So this stood out at first, because it's love one another with brotherly affection. So I thought of my brothers, Tommy and Charlie. And I was thinking, what does brotherly affection look like? What does it look like with my brothers? It's the easiest place to start. It's the only way that I can judge. And I thought, it's love that is given. It's care. But most of all, affection, I think, is given with time. It's really difficult to show affection to somebody without giving that person your time. You know, time to listen, time to talk, time just to be with each other. And with that time, knowledge of the other person grows. The more time you spend with someone, the more you know about them. And the more you're interested in their lives, and the more you're invested in a way, because you know what's going on, you're invested. If you speak to someone on a Sunday and they say, I'm going on a marathon this week. On Sunday, you kind of feel invested and you want to find out how they did because you asked that question. And it got me thinking that I don't give nearly enough time to my church family, to you guys. You know, I do to some. I do to Joe. He might as well be my brother. You know, I spend a lot more time with Paul. I used to spend quite a lot of time with Michael in the studio, having a go at the gremlins in the system and stuff like that, that things didn't go right always. We spent a lot of time together, got to know each other. But really, I'm selfish. Because we are a body. We're the body of Christ, and we hear it often. I think there was a sermon on it a couple of weeks ago, last month. But we are a body of Christ. And as a body, as a church family, we should know what the other person's doing. If your left leg didn't know what your right leg's doing, I've gone left and right, but that's the wrong way around, isn't it? If your this leg doesn't know what that leg's doing, it's not going to go right. If this leg wants to walk that way, and that leg wants to walk that way, I'm not having kids. You know, because you're going to be split. And as a church, that's your fault, Cheryl. as a church, if you start going in different directions and don't know what the others are doing, you could split. Do you know, and it's something that I, in myself, want to change. I want to know what's going on in the rest of the church. You know, so that's what it is. Love one another with brotherly affection. Give time to one another. And the second part of this is honour one another above yourselves. So what does that mean? What does honour mean? So I've done the usual, have a look, what does honour really mean? And everywhere I looked, respect was involved. Honour and respect. So in other words, respect one another above yourselves. Above yourselves. Now, take a second just to think in your head of the people that you respect more than yourself. Just take a minute just to think about that. The people that you respect more than yourself. Now, when I think of my list, at the very top is my dad. A lot of respect for my dad and everything that he's done. There's my brothers. There's Dave. There's Paul and Katie. Now, there's a list of people that I respect more than myself. But they're my family and my close friends. Why? You know, I've got respect for other people, but the people I really, really respect a lot more than myself are the people that are close to me. And it's because I know them. It's because I know their stories. You know, I know what they've been through. I know what they've done. It's a lot easier to respect them when I know them. But it's really difficult to respect someone more than yourself if you don't know anything about them. But as a family, we should have that respect. We should have that honour for everyone. For everyone in here. That's not me saying I don't respect you all. It's me saying I don't know nearly enough about a lot of you as I should. And that's my own doing. But we should as a family. Often I think, and I say to Lydia at times, John, he seems really interesting. Often I think that. I think John seems like a really interesting guy. You know, he's got a lot of knowledge. And there's a lot of stuff about John. In fact, I spoke to him a bit this morning. There's a lot of stuff about John that I don't know. And I'd be really interested to find out. You know, I respect John, but by getting to know him more, my level of respect for him will just grow, I'd imagine. But how do I do that? I will only get to know John more by going and speaking to him, by going and asking questions. And with that, your knowledge grows, your friendship grows, your respect grows. So, honouring one another starts by really knowing one another. I don't know if anyone's noticed over the last month or so, but Lydia has been every other week chair hopping a little bit. Yeah, this morning. And she's been sitting in different places with different people, and it got me thinking a bit more about this. You know, what if everybody did that? Ooh, wouldn't that be crazy? You know, we're very set in our ways. We have a certain people we speak to, the certain chairs we sit in, and that's where we sit. But what if everyone sat anywhere? I mean, I wouldn't like to be the one that comes in before... Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't want to be the ones that come in before the youth group and steals their seats, because all hell would break loose. They'd be running around like, not knowing what's going on. I would be. I'd be like, what's going on? Where's Joe? Where's Joe? But what if, you know? I'm not saying necessarily we should do that, but it does give you food for thought of how comfortable we are. We sit with the same clicky group of people sometimes. So, look around this room. Look at all the beautiful people. Come on, it's not funny, is it? We're beautiful. Now, your extended family. Now, the people that chose, instead of lying in bed on a Sunday morning, and sometimes it's really hard to get out of bed on a Sunday morning, they chose to be here for the same reason as you're here. So have a look at your family. Now think, is there somebody in this room that you've not really had a chance to speak to? Do you know? Somebody there, or something you'll be really interested about is somebody. Do you know? Think of someone you'd like to ask, how did you become a Christian? You've been at many churches, why did you end up in Junction? How are you able to find time to bake a cake every week? Little things. How did you do at school, in your GCSEs, in your A-levels? I know you was doing them. Elaine, how did you get into teaching? There's so many questions that you think, oh, actually, I mean, I've got loads of questions for loads of people. So I want you to take a minute to think of a person or two people and think of a question that you'd quite like to ask them. You know, we're family. So just take a second and just really think about that. So, now I'm going to stir the pot. Because what I want us to do is I want us to take 5 minutes to go to that person, to talk to them. I know it's a bit out there, but as family and as a church family, what's really important and what is all over the Bible is just one word, and that is fellowship. So many examples of fellowship all over the Bible, and that's what we do every Sunday. But being a part of a Christian is fellowship. So what I want you to do is get up, get out of your seat, go and talk to somebody, go and ask them a question, and then, yeah, anything. And if someone's talking to that person, go and ask somebody else another question. But just think of somebody that you've not spoken to and go and talk to them.
Prosper, and every breath I make. With all of your heart, sing of the glory that's due to his name. Sing to the Lord with all of your soul. Join all of heaven and earth to proclaim. You are the Lord, the Savior of all. God of creation, we praise you. We sing the songs that awaken the dawn. God of creation, we praise you. Sing to the Lord with all of your mind. With understanding, give thanks to the King. Sing to the Lord with all of your strength, living our lives as a praise offering. You are the Lord, the Savior of all, God of creation, we praise you. We sing the songs that awaken the dawn, God of creation, we praise you. You are the Lord, the Savior of all, God of creation, we praise you. We sing the songs that awaken the dawn, God of creation, we praise you. Sing to the Lord with all of your heart. Sing of the glory that's due to his name. Sing to the Lord with all of your soul. Join all of heaven and earth to proclaim. You are the Lord, the Savior of all. God of creation, we praise you. We sing the songs that awaken the dawn. God of creation, we praise you. You are the Lord, the Savior of all. God of creation, we praise you. We sing the songs that awaken the dawn. God of creation, we praise you. You are the Lord, the Savior of all. God of creation, we praise you. We sing the songs that awaken the dawn. God of creation, we praise you.
If you could bring your conversations to a close. Well, thank you for that, because that was going to go one of two ways. Either everyone was going to get up and start chatting, or no one was, and I was going to sit here like a melon, and I'd have partnered people up, and that wouldn't have been fun, wouldn't it? So, Megan, you've got everybody's birthdays now, yeah? Good. See, so that was quite... I bet you all learned something that you didn't know, or I hope you did. I learned things that I didn't know, so it was good. Now... In 1 Peter 3:8, it says this: finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, and a tender heart and a humble mind. So that's, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. So I noticed the unity of mind part. All of you have unity of mind. And that's just basically all of us being on the same page. It's all of us working together, again, as the body. And again, the only way to do that is to know each other, which is why exercises like that is good, to learn more about each other, to see what each other's like. With that, we can work out what each other's skills were. Now, I found out that John used to do a lot of children's work. I didn't know that. That could help me a lot moving forward with the youth work. If there's anything that we want to do, I know who to go to. I wouldn't have known that if I'd have not spoken. So this unity of mind is so important, to have interest and showing an interest to each other. Now, if you've got the Bibles, let's do a sword drill because they're fun. So find a verse, put a Bible on your head When you found the verse. When you found the verse. Oh, you can, so Bible's closed. Isabel, Bible's closed. Thank you. Okay. Well, that's quite good balancing. You can go and fetch me some water later. So, Acts. Oh, I see Bible's open already. That's cheating, no. Acts 4:32-37. That's like, Joe, well done. Now, I think one of you will have the Bible, if you're unlucky, that doesn't have Acts in it. Because I gave that to Barry last time he came, and he was like, I deliberately gave it to Barry, and he was just sat there for... It's not in it. Okay. Yeah, you can put it down. Now put it back on your head. Now put it down. No. Simon says put it down. Right. He reads this. So 32-37 is... All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it all at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Again, it says, all the believers were one in mind and heart. So we're seeing a pattern here. But it also says, it's what it says, it's basically what it says on the tin, isn't it, really? They was one. And through that grew much love for one another. You know, everything was shared. Nobody in that community went wanting. Because if someone was going wanting, things were shared. Again, that comes with knowledge for each other. How could the apostles give to those who needed if there wasn't any communication with people in order to know who needed? When one was in need, doesn't matter what it was, the others gave. And that, actually, I'd like to say, is what Junction is actually really quite good at the minute. Three young people want to go and help people in different places of the world. As a church, we've already funded two, and are on the way to three. And we will fund that. Do you know, because they've got a heart, and as a family, we want to bless them to help them bless other people. And that's one thing we are very good at doing. We're very good at financial giving. Do you know, without Junction, it'd be really hard for them to raise that money. I know, talking to Libby, one of her friends, was struggling to raise the funds because they didn't have a church family like we're blessed to have. But why have we done this? Why did we bother? Because we're family and because we love them, yeah. Because we love them, you know? Because we've got much love for them. We want to bless them in order for them to bless other people. But this is just a start. There's a lot that we can learn from Acts, you know, and how to act as a Christian. Now, there's things we do great, and there's things we struggle with. But the heart of it all is family. You know, being one and getting through it together. It's no point one person muddling through. We need to be a family and muddle through together. And it's actually Lydia that showed me this passage. So after she showed me it, I thought, oh, I'll have a read through a bit more of Acts. That seemed interesting. And then I found this in Acts 2:44. We won't do another sword drill. But it says this. All who believed were together and had all things in common. Again, it's similar to one heart and mind. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. So at a glance, it's very similar to the previous verse I've just read out. You know, but it also says, all who believed were together, had all things in common. Again, same as all in heart and mind. But then it goes on to say, breaking bread in their homes. Now that's stepping out of the church, really. Breaking bread in their homes is instantly straight out of that door. It's in our own homes. So I bet quite often you see family. You might have family over at your homes, different members of family. I mean, there's the odd one that you only see at Christmas because you can't stand them. But, do you know, you quite often, I'd imagine, see family. But at church, many of you, I see you on a Sunday. I'll see you next Sunday. I'll see you next Sunday. I'll see you at a church event. But actually, I've been quite bad. I've not invited many of you around to my house to break bread with me. Do you know? But it says it's the day-by-day part of this verse which stood out. The day-by-day part that makes you think it's a more regular occurrence. It's not just on a Sunday they were the family. And due to this, and them sharing in praise, in fellowship, in bread, day-by-day, their numbers grew, day-by-day. And God added to their numbers those who were being saved. Now, I'm not saying necessarily we should go out, evangelise and bring hundreds and hundreds to the church. That's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying, invite those in your community to your house and break bread. And God added to their numbers. They were spending time together. And God was still adding to their numbers because they were so close-knit as a family. So, yeah, we just get stuck in our ways, really, of seeing people at church, and that's okay. So my challenge to you over the next few months or so, as Junction changes, is, like we've just done, get to know people more. Maybe think of a question through the week and ask somebody on a Sunday. It doesn't have to be big. But let's get to know each other a bit more. And don't be afraid or don't be shy, because we are family. And also, maybe think of somebody and try to meet up with them outside of church. Invite them over for a cup of tea, see if they're around for a meal or something, and try and think outside of this building. Because as a family, what a lot of people shouted out at the beginning was, first thing that jumps to Christ's mind is family. Family think about each other through the week and spend time with each other through the week. Let's really, in the true sense of the word, become heart and mind as one. Do you know? And then as we pray together, as we worship together, like as one, as we are on a Sunday, we become stronger because you're more invested in people. You're more likely to go and ask somebody for prayer. Do you know, I enjoy worship more than anything when my dad and my brothers are around. You know, we'll be linking arms, we'll be dancing, we'll be swaying, we'll be clapping. We do not care. We're having the time of our lives. But that's because I'm comfortable with them, because I've got such a good relationship. I know if I act stupid, they're going to act stupid with me. You know, but that's just because that's just the way we are. But also, we push each other in our walk. Because we know what's going on, I know if I start struggling or I start failing and I turn to Dave, he'll take the time to help me through. Equally so, if I think I'm doing all right and Dave thinks I'm not, he'll tell me. And that also comes through knowledge. It's not a bam, 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 you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong. It's because Dave knows me and he cares for me. So he would. And he'll help me through that. But as a church, there might be people that are struggling now and nobody's noticed. They might be struggling in their own lives and nobody's noticed because we don't all take the time to get to know each other as much as maybe we should or we could. So it'd be really awesome as a church family if we could kind of have that in confidence with each other to really support one another and build each other up. So we're going to, Joe, if you want to come to guitar. I want to end the song just because we're family and it's good to sing together as family, and kind of let's, as a family, stand up together and just praise our Father. All of our Father, the reason we're here. And, you know, as we sing a song, you know, go for it, enjoy it. Don't worry about what everyone else is thinking. We're all family, we're all here together. And maybe think as well about things that maybe you can improve on yourself or someone else that you want to speak to or something. And I really encourage you to do that over the next weeks and months, to meet up outside this place. And let's really become one as Junction, as a unit, and hold each other up and build each other up for the future of the church. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to worship. So God, I thank you for all that you've done for Junction. I thank you for where we've come, Lord Jesus, through what we've come through and what we are now. And I just thank you for the family, Lord Jesus, that is Junction. I pray that you help build us up, help us come closer together in one heart and one mind as a unit, Lord, in unity, with you at the centre and you at the core, always looking up to you for direction, Lord Jesus. Just really be with us, bless us as we go through the week. And I really pray that you put it on our hearts to maybe try harder with each other outside the church and inside the church, and just really let's have all corners of the church be in one, Lord Jesus, as we move forward into this new test that you've got for us in the future. Amen.